Okay, we are in Councils for the Church, of course, Chapter 35, brand new chapter this week. This one's titled An Appeal to Youth. And I got to tell you, it really, I don't know if you know, if any of you saw the new video I put up yesterday. I did that video in like maybe, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half. Because we, one of the brothers sent me, I think it was Brother Jay, picture the Pope with a bunch of the rich people. Was that you, Jay? And then I told you, never mind, because I found the picture. But the Pope sitting there with a bunch of rich people. And then so I went around, I looked around, and I saw him. I just did some research. Now, that took me the longest time to find all the pictures that I wanted. I only needed like five or six. But try to get them where they're all in the same room, that's not easy to do. Because I can get a picture of the Pope shaking hands with literally every single solitary political leader. But you know how long that video would be, right? So forget that noise. So I did that video. But the thing that bothered me the most is when I saw the Youth Day for, I think it was 2016, was it, in Brazil? Where Brazil is like, what is it, 85% Roman Catholic. That's why their promiscuity thing is the norm out there. And, of course, they had the Youth Day on a beach. And so everybody's scantily clad. But praise God, I found a picture from a drone or something that was, or a helicopter or something that was way up where you can't even, everybody looks like ants. And they did that purposely to show there was a lot of people, and they were all young people. And only the Pope draws those kind of crowds. That's how much control he has over the people, because they worship him. And so I hope and pray that, you know, the youth among us and the youth that we love, somehow, some way, we have an opportunity to reach them, or even get to those kids that have been infected by Roman Catholicism out there in, you know, Brazil, Mexico, the Philippines, wherever. And that's why I praise God. Like when Pastor Craig brought it up many years ago in regards to going to the Philippines, and he met his wife in here, just like Brother Ryan did, and then he had to go out there and meet the family and stuff like that. When he was out there, he decided to stay for a little while, and was wondering if he should just start sharing present truth out there. I said, that would be an excellent place to do it, because like the Mexican people, the Filipinos are very devoted to their God. But the devotion is only as far as their religious leaders will allow them to understand it. And that's the sad part, because Roman Catholicism, it's all falderal. But again, Revelation 18, my people, verse 4. So his people are in there, and we're finding that out very easily. You know, you go to the, that's why I always wanted to learn the language of Spanish, but I don't have the gift of tongues, if you will, in that respect, to where I can pick up languages that easy. You know, Pig Latin was about it, as far as I can go. But I never really applied myself either, because I've always been so busy. But the thing is, just talking with them and sharing the truth with them and just seeing their eyes light up, because I have talked to many of the Spanish people that are bilingual. And it really is like when you talk to somebody who is devoted to God, not a devout Catholic, but a devoted believer who believes as far as they can understand. And when you tell them, you know, there's a little bit more room on this path towards Christ, you know, the Catholic Church gives you a sliver. It's kind of like a balancing act just to try to make it to heaven. And sure, the road is narrow, but it's not that narrow. The Lord has an awful lot of truth presented for all of us, but Rome won't allow it out there. But then when you share it with them, it's like, wow. And especially the youth, they just take it in like sponges. I miss the days that I would, you know, be on the street, and I come across, I'm reminded of this one time. I just happened to be working in this one apartment, and this one young kid came up to me and asked me a question, because he knew I was a preacher. And I answered this. He says, oh, well, you know, can you share that with this one? Because they don't believe, you know how they, because he was trying to tell his friends the truth. I can't remember what the question was, the biblical question was. But he wanted to tell his friend. And he says, look, he believes the same way I do. And all, you know, and so and one of his friends, well, what about this? And all of a sudden, three or four friends. And before you knew it, we had like seven teenagers just sitting there. And half of them, their jaws were just dropping with the stuff that, you know, I was sharing. I was like, wow, I just love this. It's just, it's like, you know, being in heaven on one of them planets, you know, sharing the truth. But anyway, this very first chapter of our very first dissertation, I guess, or comment section of chapter 35 is titled An Appeal to Youth. And it says, dear young friends, that which you sow, you will also reap. Now is the sowing time for you. What will be the harvest? Or what will the harvest be, rather? What are you sowing? Every word you utter, every act you perform is a seed which will bear good or evil fruit and will result in joy or sorrow to the sower. As is the seed sown, so will be the crop. And I got to tell you, when I was a young man, I sowed an awful lot of bad seeds. As a matter of fact, I was called a bad seed. And a lot of that stuff still bothers me to this day. Some of the things that I did. Not that I'm tempted to do them or anything like that. But just thinking about it sometimes, you know. I mean, I don't reconfess and stuff like that. That's just it's just playing around in Satan's playground. But because I know the Lord's already forgiven me and stuff like that. But there are some things that have affected me and caused problems with me or for me in my life, even in this day and age of my life, because of the things I did when I was young. And so it's true. You know, the seed. Well, here's a good example. Smoking. All right. I praise God I quit young enough. But who knows how much damage it has done to my heart or other areas of my body, even though I still quit in my early 40s. But I started at 9. And so, and I used to show off on how I would, you know, pull in a cigar or pull in a Perotti. You know, like you'd put a, take a drag on a Marlboro, whoop-de-doo, or take a drag on a Camel, you know, a non-filter, you know. No, I would do the Perottis, and the Perottis were the, they looked like something a cat would leave behind. Seriously, that's what they look, it's a cigar. Clint Eastwood used to smoke those in his Westerns, and they were like, really strong. And so I'm concerned even to this day if this has caused any damage to my body. But this is what she's getting at. Now, that's the physical end of things, but there's a lot of spiritual seeds that we put out there. Like, take, for example, if you're a young man and you get into porn, try to get that out of your mind in your 60s. The devil's going to be throwing that at you every chance he can, reminding of you how much. Or let's say you're promiscuous in your teen years or something. Or even in your 20s and 30s, and you were just all over the place, you know, just sowing in the wild oats or whatever as they call it. And then all of a sudden you find Christ, and then 10, 20, 30 years later after finding Christ, the devil starts reminding you of all the fun times you thought you had. You never remember the bad times, of course. No, he doesn't bring that any of that up ever. It's always the good stuff, right? Or so you think it was. And so those kind of seeds, those can become toeholds to eventually become footholds. So, don't let him even have an opportunity in those areas, because when you get older, it is going to come back and haunt you, because he's going to use it. He's going to keep that skeleton well hidden in the closet until he needs it. And so, keep praying. The Lord, even if you did plant the seed, let's say you are in your 50s or 60s, stay as close to the Lord as you can, stay in the Word daily, stay in your knees as often as you can, and then when the time comes to jump over that hurdle, you'll be able to fly over it better than Michael Jordan heading for a dunk. You know, you can handle it, no problem. It's kind of like when the devil gave up on Peter after he went to the alleyway, I guess, and started weeping. He knew he was converted. He knew, having somebody come up to him now and say, hey, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he'd come back with tears flowing. Yeah, I am. Deal with it. But before that, he was all scared. No courage at all. She goes on. God has given you great light and many privileges. After this light has been given, after your dangers have been plainly presented before you, the responsibility becomes yours. The manner in which you treat the light that God gives you will turn the scale for happiness or woe. You are shaping your destinies for your, destinies for yourselves. You know, I wish I would have heard this kind of stuff when I was a teenager. I got to tell you, because I'm wondering if it would have affected me, though, because I had my head in the clouds more often than not. I was very naive, and I was all about just partying. And so I didn't, maybe the Lord prevented it because he knew I wouldn't accept it anyway. And praise his name for that. Because you know how he is with his people. He knows when's the best time to approach on the good or bad end of things, you know. Look at John the Baptist. His parents weren't even allowed to have that baby until they were well in, you know, into their later years. She goes on to say that you all have an influence for good or for evil on the minds and characters of others. In other words, no man's an island. I always used to irk me when I would hear people saying, you know, I'm only doing this to myself. You know, like a lot of my buddies, they're, you know, because I never got into the drugs and stuff like that. When I was a teen, I always thought it was crazy. And I was actually scared to do it. I'll admit it today, even though, you know, back then I was Mr. Macho Man, you know. But I was afraid because I saw some people go on bad trips and or have bad reactions or literally die. I mean, we're all chemical puddles. You don't know if you put that stuff in your body how it's going to react. And so I would say, which was true, I always wanted a lot of kids. I got eight. But I always said I always wanted, a buddy of mine was, you know, showing me some drug this, that, you know, or whatever, you know, and I'd say, oh, no thanks. I don't mind. I'll just drink the alcohol or whatever because I'm a little concerned about, I want to have a lot of children and I don't want to have to deal with issues for my kids if I put stuff in my system and then, you know. You know, it could cause all sorts of problems for the children. And so that worked for me. And I mean, they didn't even push it, you know. And so, but the no man is an island thing, when the first time I ever heard it, it struck me like a ton of bricks because it made perfect sense. Because I heard a young guy saying, you know, oh, my mom or my dad's getting all up in my face because I'm popping beaners left and right. And I'm thinking, well, dude, you know, you can kill yourself. I says, well, who cares, man? It's me. It's my body. I can do what I want to. I says, well, okay, so your mom's not going to cry. Your dad's not going to cry. Your little brother, your little sister, they're all going to go, okay, well, he's gone. See ya. No man's an island. No matter what you think, there are people that love you. Now, yeah, okay, granted, there are some really, really strange people on this planet where they'll kill their kids. They're just very, very. I just put an article on the website the other day about some parents that starve some child to death or beat them to death. I can't remember. It's all the same. They all look demon possessed when they take their mugshots. They all look evil. But the majority, you know, most people love each other. You know, most parents love their kids. Even Jesus said, you know, how you that are so evil would give good gifts to your children. And then think of your Heavenly Father who has perfect love for us. And so, yeah, no man's an island. No matter what you do, it's going to affect the people around you, whether you like it or not. And, but still, you can declare that for years. And it would, and in the 70s, the 60s and 70s, when you would say that stuff, okay, it would hit home sometime, okay? It would hit some good soil. But today, it's next to impossible because of the AMA. I've lost two nephews already, three actually, but two to suicide. And, I think one of them was a murder. But the other one, I know, the one suicide, it had to be because of the antidepressants. Well, what these antidepressants, one of the side effects is suicide. It's like, yeah, sure, let's pop that pill. Because it literally alters your way of thinking to the point you're not going to tell anybody you're having these thoughts. Oh, no, my, fine, you know, fine, Dad, yeah, everything's cool. Just give me the pills, make you feel good, you know? And then you got these thoughts. And so you try to tell somebody about that no man is an island thing or how suicide's the only permanent answer to a temporary problem, and it's you know, going to go in one ear and out the other just like a bullet. And that's where they're aiming. So it's not an easy road to hoe out there because the devil's literally... I mean, just like Sister White said in regards to he'll poison the atmosphere in our day. Well, the Lord prophesied in Revelation that the pharmakia thing out there would, you know, poison the masses. That's, you know, the sorcery thing. It literally, amen, it just literally changes the mind. to the point where you're just not you, even though you don't look like you've changed. It's just like being a Christian. Like the first time somebody come up to me and says, you know, I want the old Nick back. Dude, I just passed a mirror 5 minutes ago. What are you talking about? And so they, you know, you don't notice it. But and I never took any of that psychotropic stuff, so I really wouldn't be able to know what it's like. I have seen the catatonic stuff where, you know, the people just hang there with their tongue hanging out of their heads. And I says, yeah, this stuff's powerful. It literally changes humans into bedposts. Or just, you know, walking coma. It's just strange. But she goes on. Let me backtrack that sentence again, where it says, you all have an influence for good or for evil on the minds and characters of others. It's not just us. And just the influence which you avert is written in the book of records in heaven. Remember that one that Jesus said in Matthew, by every idle word, you're judged by every idle word. And boy, we got a lot of bad idle words, myself included. You know, you're constantly asking for forgiveness, and it's really, really something how much that's one hate I can cultivate. Hatred of Satan. You know, just the way he attacks, you know, loving Christians and makes them and tries to make them have bad thoughts about love, you know, the people they love. Oh, I can't wait to see him smeared on the side of that pit. Anyway, it says, an angel is attending you and taking a record of your words and actions. When you rise in the morning, do you feel your helplessness and your need of strength from God? And do you humbly, heartily make known your wants to your Heavenly Father? If so, angels mark your prayers. And if these prayers have not gone forth out of feigned lips when you are in danger of unconsciously doing wrong and exerting an influence which will lead others to do wrong, your guardian angel will be by your side, prompting you to a better course, choosing your words for you, and influencing your actions. In other words, he's ministering to you. And I say he because they're genderless. You know, I really, what you can't say he, she, or it. I think it would be a little bit of an insult. So she goes on to say that if you feel in no danger, and if you offer no prayer for help and strength to resist temptations, you will be sure to go astray. Your neglect of duty will be marked in the book of God in heaven, and you'll be found wanting in the trying day. Now think about that too. And one of the ways that I like to keep myself aware of the rung I'm on and the rung I want to be on the ladder, you know, to heaven, is to constantly try to better myself just a little more every day, baby steps or giant steps, I don't care. I always want to not do this or not do that, not think this or not think that, or do this or do that, or don't do this or don't do that. Whatever the case may be. Because I know if I'm not at least trying to better myself, if I become complacent and I just sit there and grow hair, like I say a lot, I'm just, yeah, you can't be a couch potato in heaven. That's the definition of lukewarm, and that gets you spewed. And the latter rain will not be upon you. And that'll be a scary, scary, scary time. As Jeremiah says, you know, harvest is past, summer's ended, we are not saved. And so, bettering yourself each and every day will, the Lord, see, 1 Corinthians 10:13 has a lot of say-so in this as well, and this is one of the reasons I do it the way I do it. Because I know the Lord says in 1 Corinthians that he will not allow us to be tempted above our ability to handle it. But if you're going to sit back and give up, well, then you just open the floodgates to Satan. And so, trying. And who cares if it's tough? I mean, try doing some bodybuilding work. Feel the burn, right? Yeah, well, if you want the bigger muscles, feel the burn. Well, wouldn't you want some big spiritual muscles? Sometimes it's got to be a little rough. And promise God every now and then. Do that. I'm not saying make a vow or anything like that. Just say, look, I'm really going to promise. I'm going to make it through this day. And when that situation comes, because I know it's going to come, because that person steps in the door at that time. Let's say it's at work and it's a problem person that comes in all the time and always gives you something that just irks you the wrong way, like nails on a chalkboard kind of a thing. And just say, I am not even going to give them a bad look. I'm going to smile. You've made it over that hurdle that day. But that doesn't mean you can kick back and just relax. Take heed lest you fall, because tomorrow is going to come another day. And so what the hurdle you jumped over yesterday, you might trip over and just start wailing on the guy the next day, you know? And so, yeah, you can't be combative. You can't, you know, and I speak from experience, because I have always been very combative. You know, I'm not afraid of confrontation. And that's what, and a lot of times I'll start the confrontation, you know, and I, it's a bad fruit that I've had ever since I was a kid. And no, I never started fights, like the fisticuff things, because I never liked that because of the way I was beat up when I was a kid. But I certainly wouldn't let anybody pound on me, but I always had a bad attitude. And so that didn't help for any kind of, situation in life, if you will. Where it should be a happy day, I could turn it into a sour day, and it's just not worth it. Especially if you got to live with me, you know, and it makes it rough for everybody around you. No man is an island, and so it just gets bad. And so jump over the hurdle, even if it's just baby steps. It could be a hurdle that's as, you know, hopping over a little ant walking by, you know, nothing. Just as long as you pass that little test. So she goes on to say, says, there are some around you who have been religiously instructed, and some who have been indulged, petted, flattered, and praised until they have been literally spoiled for practical life. And I've seen people like this in my past before, especially when it comes to young people, where their parents will just glorify them left and right, and by the time, you know, they get to a certain age and reality hits, they walk out into the world and no one's praising them. It hits you like a ton of bricks. Because you want it. You think that's part of life. And you find out, you get out there in the world, there's just nobody does that. That's just your mom and dad doing that. No one's going to do that. And then so that can cause problems for some people. And she goes on, she says, I am speaking in regards to persons that I know. Their characters are so warped by indulgence, flattery, and indolence that they are useless for this life. And if useless, wait. Yeah, she's got a weird way to talk sometimes. I guess it's partially Old English, but she says, and if useless so far as this life is concerned, what may we hope for that life where all is all is purity and holiness, and where all have harmonious characters? Yeah, think about that as well. Every now and then, like, and I praise the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father, because I'm a loner. I've always been a loner, even though I've got a large family, and I came from a large family. And I think that's part of it, too, because when I was a little kid, I used to take off on my bike, go out and talk to the Lord in the prairies, because staying around my 10 siblings with the constant wars going on, it just, no, I didn't want any part of it. And so I got to a point where I'd rather be alone. Leave me alone. Quit breathing on me, you know, or say this, or the teasing thing or whatever. And every now and then I'll get to a point, even to this day, sometimes I'll be doing, I'm working on something, and someone will interrupt me. And it's just totally innocent interruption, like with a question or this or that, whatever the case may be. And I'll be tempted, not as much as I used to, but that enemy still will tempt me sometimes, you know, to not want to be interrupted, let's say. I'm not saying I'm going to be lashed out or anything like that, because that's gone, praise his name, but the not want to be tempted. And then the Holy Spirit just jumps right in and say, yeah, but when you get home to heaven with all those harmonious characters standing around you, what are you going to do then? I mean, sure, you can go off into some flowery field and, you know, walk through the field and talk to the Father and have the butterflies land on you, but there's all sorts of opportunities in heaven not to be alone. And so if you can't get used to not being alone down here, well, you know, it's just like with the races, too. you can't get along with somebody just because of the color of their skin, what are you going to do when you get to, if you get to heaven? And I understand we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the moment, but the Lord also says we're all going to be known as we are known, right? So does that mean our race is going to change? I don't know. I don't know what the glorified bodies look like. Okay, Sister White doesn't go into the detail there. You know, we've all seen the goofy movies over the years. I've seen where everybody's gray-faced in heaven. There's no colors. Oh, please. I mean, look at the variety just in the flowers. Why would there be no variety in mankind? I think that just shows another artistic, you know, fruit, if you will, of our Heavenly Father. I mean, the sunset alone, which is kind of clouded here today. We can't, you know, with that storm rolling in, but. She goes on by saying, I have prayed for these persons. I have addressed them personally. I could see the influence that they would exert over the mind, over other minds, rather, in leading them to vanity, love of dress, and carelessness in regards to their eternal interests. The only hope for this class is for them to take heed of their ways, humble their proud, vain hearts before God, make confession of their sins, and be converted. Amen. Wow, look at that. It's 5:02. Well, in about 3 minutes. So, we end it there. See, to develop a yeah, because this next one is kind of big. We'll go way over. So, the next one is develop a taste for spiritual things. Amen to that, because, see, that's a hurdle a lot of us, especially the basement Christ, will have. And it always has a tendency to depend on what kind of a life you came from. Because I've run across people in my day that were raised, let's say they were raised SDA and properly raised SDA. And then they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so they don't have a real, you know, lot of old habits to get rid of, let's say, you know. And sometimes I would think, boy, I'd love to get on that, toss it a coin, because the garbage I was used to, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of, you know, the devil bringing it up. But they're going to have their issues just as much as anybody else, just because they're raised different. Well, it'll be a little easier, I would think, in some areas, but still in some areas it's not so easy, because they're going to be naive to certain things, just like I would be naive to certain things too, as opposed, you know, like they would be more spiritual and I wouldn't be, and then vice versa, that kind of a thing. And so, yeah, next week this should be a good one. Develop a taste for spiritual things. So, hope and pray you're blessed. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us as this Sabbath starts here, I think. I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes. But thank you so much for being with us as we gathered here tonight to go into the spirit of prophecy and see what it is that, you know, the work follows her just like the work follows Daniel. And it's just, we know she's a prophet, and so we thank you for blessing her with the utterance that puts the New Testament into, and the Old, into a little bit of easier light to understand for some people. It's just like with the way the New Testament was written to help some people understand the Old. You're constantly there, sharing your truth with your children. And so thank you for blessing us tonight. Please, again, bless everyone on our prayer list, all those that were mentioned in the text chat, and everyone that's doing work around the world. Thank you for that strong hedge of angels you have over them, especially the ones here in the States, because it's getting strange, especially in the politics. Everything's leaning towards a religious end of things, and so we know where that's headed. So we need a little more courage, Father, because some of us are going to be tempted in that area to walk away out of fear. And so please bless your sons and daughters, your son's bride. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your son. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.